The Ukraine-Russia conflict entered a new phase this weekend with two significant developments happening almost simultaneously. Ukraine struck a major oil terminal in St. Petersburg that's not a frontline target. That's a deep strike operation hitting one of Russia's key fuel distribution nodes on the Baltic coast. And on the same day, Trump and Putin spoke for 85 minutes discussing ending the war ahead of the NATO summit in Ankara.
The St. Petersburg strike is worth dwelling on for a moment. Russia's fuel situation was already strained. Sanctions, damaged refineries from earlier Ukrainian strikes, and the general economic dislocation of a prolonged war have all contributed. Hitting a St. Petersburg terminal deepens that crisis in a city that is Russia's second largest and historically its most European-facing. It's also a signal to any European government tempted to soften on Ukraine. Kyiv still has the capability and the will to hit targets far behind Russian lines.
Zelensky, meanwhile, is denying Russian claims that they've captured Kostyantynivka, that's a town in Donetsk that has strategic significance as a logistics hub. The fog of war makes the ground truth difficult to assess, but Zelensky's denial matters diplomatically because the narrative of Russian territorial momentum shapes what pressure European partners feel to push Ukraine toward negotiations. He's simultaneously pressing German Chancellor Merz for Patriot missile systems, which connects directly to the air defense shortage we discussed in the Saudi context. The Patriot supply chain is under global strain.
The Trump-Putin call is the piece that will dominate diplomatic analysis going into the week. 85 minutes is a long conversation. The fact that it happened on July 4th, a date with enormous symbolic weight in American politics, is either a coincidence or deliberate staging. Trump has consistently signaled that he wants a deal on Ukraine. And the Ankara-NATO summit is the first major multilateral venue where the shape of any such deal might be articulated publicly. The Europeans are watching this extremely carefully because a deal that trades Ukrainian territory for a ceasefire would set precedents that affect every NATO member's security calculus.
There's a version of this that goes well and a version that goes badly. The version that goes well is that a credible security guarantee for remaining Ukrainian territory is negotiated. Ukraine retains sovereignty over its major population centers and economic infrastructure, and Russia accepts some form of monitored demilitarized zone. The version that goes badly is that Ukraine is pressured into accepting territorial losses without a genuine security guarantee, which then invites future Russian pressure at a time of Moscow's choosing.
And the version that goes badly for Europe specifically is one where the U.S. presents the deal as settled before consulting NATO allies. The Ankara summit is supposed to be a multilateral venue, but if Trump and Putin have already sketched a framework in their 85-minute call, the NATO allies may find themselves being informed rather than consulted. That distinction matters enormously for the future cohesion of the alliance.